Hello, and welcome back to Texas Tech Health Check from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I'm your host, Melissa Whitfield. We want you to get healthy and stay healthy with help from evidence-based advice from our physicians, healthcare providers, and researchers. We are a little over a week away from Thanksgiving Day. I challenge our listeners to take some time during the holiday to ask their friends and families, maybe even a stranger, what they're thankful for. I am grateful for health, family, friends, music, and books, and for Dr. Natalie Scanlon. She's our guest for this episode. Dr. Scanlon is a clinical psychologist in the Department of Psychiatry. Dr. Scanlon tells us the benefits of gratitude on our mental and physical health and encourages us to practice gratitude and mindfulness and see if you start to notice any difference. Welcome back, Dr. Scanlon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
We're glad you could come back so soon. Please tell us a little bit about yourself, your expertise, and what you do here at the Health Sciences Center.
Yes. So I'm a clinical psychologist by trade. And here at the Health Sciences Center, I am in the Department of Psychiatry as an assistant professor within the School of Medicine Department of Psychiatry.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving is around the corner, and it got us thinking about what we're thankful for and started to wonder, what if we thought about this every day, practicing gratitude? First of all, what is gratitude?
So the dictionary definition of gratitude is the quality of being thankful, to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. And psychologically, we actually think of gratitude as both an emotion and a practice. So we can think of gratitude as a feeling, an emotional state, maybe even a mood state, in addition to being a verb, so something that we practice.
And what are the benefits to our mental and our physical health when we practice gratitude?
Yes, this is an interesting question because there has been quite a bit of research over the past couple of decades recently that really looks into gratitude. So in general, the practice of gratitude can help a person shift from focusing on distressing feelings and thoughts. Sometimes those distressing thoughts are called ruminations, to more pleasant ones. So in therapy, when it comes to mental illness, we often work on really recognizing when negative automatic thoughts come up and when negative self-talk comes up and trying to change those negative automatic thoughts to more neutral or positive thoughts. And the practice of gratitude can really help shift somebody's mindset from more of the negative to more of the positive, which has a lot of benefits. We also know that regular gratitude practice can strengthen pro-social relationships, even marriages. So the more that partners really focus on and express what they're grateful for instead of what the downfalls are in the other person, the more satisfied and the more they can work through some of those marriage struggles. And finally, data also indicate that gratitude is negatively correlated with a bunch of things that we don't want. So negatively correlated with pain, stress, depression, sleep difficulties, and illness. Essentially, the more gratitude you practice, the less of those things you're going to experience. And then it's positively correlated with academic and professional achievements. So the more you practice gratitude, the higher you achieve academically and professionally.
Well, how can we practice gratitude?
Yes, a couple of different ways. I would say with practicing gratitude, mindfulness is really the first step. So I define mindfulness as paying attention on purpose to things as they are. And so how do we notice the goodness and what we have, especially in a society that is very materialistic and based on social media comparisons? How do we just start to shift that noticing and that mentality from more of a deficit mentality to a gratitude mentality? And then cognitive flexibility, I think, is another way of cultivating gratitude. So how do we find the good even in tough situations? For example, if somebody's having to make a choice between two different decisions, if it's a difficult choice to make, perhaps being grateful for the opportunity and having decisions on the table and not just focusing on how hard it is to make the right decision. So using some cognitive flexibility, some flexibility in our thinking. And then some other common ways of practicing gratitude are some people will journal things that they're grateful for every day. Some people will use prayer and express gratitude through prayer. Some people like to write thank you notes or notes of recognition to colleagues. Here at the HSC, we have a couple of different ways we can recognize colleagues who do a good job or help us out. And so, again, just paying attention to those things, not always being so focused on the things that are hard or the stressful things, but noticing when things go well and then expressing gratitude for those.
Well, around Thanksgiving, my husband had this thing where he would hand us an index card at the beginning of the day, and then he would ask us to write down what we were thankful for. And I thought it was cheesy. His parents, who were teachers, they had an easier time doing it, but my parents just were kind of, they didn't want to do it. They thought, what is this? We're just going to eat. I mean, everybody knows that we're thankful for each other. So how can we get our friends and family, or even just whoever we're around, how do we get them to practice gratitude with us?
Yeah, I mean, I think what your husband did was a really great idea in terms of just being intentional with it. You know, as you said, we all know that we're grateful for each other, but really being intentional about it and verbal and explicit about it, I think is really important. So one of the things that I would recommend to our listeners is those intentional check-ins. And our family does this at dinner every night. So we say our prayer over the food, and then we each go around and just say one thing that we were thankful for during the day. And I think starting that culture shift within your family can be really profound, especially if you're a caregiver and kind of leading your family that way. And then I also think, especially around the holidays, volunteering is something that really helps people to appreciate the things in their life that maybe they took for granted. So when we volunteer at, say, a soup kitchen during Thanksgiving or the holiday time, I think it can really help us recognize how grateful we are to have a stable home and to have food that we can afford. And so again, it just helps with that cognitive flexibility of focusing on what we have and what we have to be thankful for, and not just focused on what we need or want or don't have.
What do you recommend for someone who has a setback and stops practicing gratitude?
Yes, I think this happens a lot, whether it's gratitude practice or mindfulness practice in general. People start a new habit, they really want to practice this on a regular basis, and then it becomes difficult. So one of the things I would say is that gratitude begets more gratitude. And brain scans have actually shown that when people practice gratitude, the prefrontal cortex of their brain lights up, which then heightens their sensitivity to future experiences of gratitude, making them more likely to be grateful. So even if you get the ball rolling and you start practicing gratitude, you're potentially making some cognitive and structural changes in your brain that will make your brain more likely to pick up on gratitude in the future. So if you're not as consistent as you wanted to be, that's okay. Just, you know, don't let perfect get in the way of progress. Just get the ball rolling. And the other thing I would say here is that something related to gratitude is this concept of foreboding joy. So foreboding joy is when we feel happy and grateful, and then it seems like the minute we lean into those feelings, something bad happens, like the other shoe drops. And so that can give people a sense of foreboding joy, such that when they feel happy or grateful again, they're sort of like, well, I don't want to lean into that because when is the other shoe going to drop? I would really say, and some of this comes from the work of Dr. Brené Brown, that can be very real. I know from my own personal life, that can be very real. I practice gratitude for one thing and then it leaves the next day. But don't let that rob you of the true joys and gratitude in life. I think that's where, you know, resilience comes in. How do we stay happy and grateful and mindful even when things are really hard? So know that that's a part of the journey, but keep at it because there are some real benefits on the other end.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would say during Thanksgiving, for those who celebrate Thanksgiving, this is really a great time of year to be reminded of our blessings and to practice gratitude. And so see how it goes for 30 days and what changes people notice. I think whether it's a 30-day challenge or a daily challenge of practicing three things you're grateful for each day, pay attention to the mental, emotional, and physical, even physical shifts that might be happening within you. Because again, so much data are coming out right now about the benefits of gratitude practice. So it doesn't have to be a massive shift. It doesn't have to be something you do every day for a year, but maybe a quick 30-day challenge at the beginning of the year 2024, or three things you're grateful for every day. It takes less than 10 seconds for most people to think of three things they're grateful for each day. So try it out, notice the impact that it has, and hopefully it's a good one.
Well, thank you so much for all this great information.
Absolutely. I'm grateful to be here.
We're happy to have you back anytime you'd like.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Texas Tech Health Check. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. This information is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek immediate medical advice from your physician or your healthcare provider for questions regarding your health or medical condition. Texas Tech Health Check is brought to you by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and produced by Tierra Castillo, Susanna Cisneros, Mark Hendricks, Kay Williams, Tyler White, and me, Melissa Whitfield.